Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gaimia Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and I'm so glad that you joined us again this week. This week, we continue our series, Plan A, the Great Commission for Every Christian, a series in which we're exploring five principles of evangelism developed by Belinda Lakeland. This week, Jodine Watling, our Associate Pastor, explores what it looks like to sow the third of the principles. Instead of focusing on the seed or the sower, she focuses instead on the soils of the parable of the soil as told by Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, and explores the state of our hearts and those around us as an important part of our consideration as we talk about Jesus to those we know.
Hello, church. Judy from Adelaide, reading Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear."
You might have noticed or connected the dots that that was actually my mum who read the Bible reading. She's been over in Adelaide, obviously, that's where she lives, and she's been able to join in with church because it's been online. Dad was on camera, production, lighting and technology, so well done to mum and dad for being able to come up with that, and I love you both very much. And if you want to join in on this conversation for the sermon, you can jump onto Slido and ask your questions there, and we'll be discussing them in our Big Three podcast this week. Over the past couple of years, I've been trying to work out how to become a more faithful consumer and more conscious about the decisions I make in my purchasing and my consumerism so that I can really care and love for the planet and the people on it. And over this time, I've been able to flip about 30 different things, and I'm still on that pathway. And I started with things like my superannuation to make sure it was being spent in ethical ways and aligned with my values. And then things like the food I eat and where it comes from and the materials and the products that I buy. How are they ethical? How do they think and care about the planet and the people that are on it? And as I have done this, it's been like a really great exercise. And one of the things that I've wanted to do was to create my own herb garden. So during the lockdown period where we had to stay at home in New South Wales, I ordered online my herb garden and all the soil and the pots and plants and seeds. And that came in and I set it all up. And I've got some photos here to show you the progress. You can see here I've got my thyme and my chives. They're doing really well. The spring onion was actually from leftover scraps that I have from some vegetables, and I've grown them again, and also some mint. Now, the basil and the parsley is not doing too good, and the sage just got burnt to death, I think. And also, I had the top of a pineapple left over for some scraps, and I've planted that. Now, it takes about 2 years to grow a pineapple, so I'm in for the long haul with that one. But I think what made it work so well, this garden, aside of a few burnt plants, is that the soil was absolutely fantastic. It was organic, it was dark and rich and full of nutrients. And when I planted all these seeds and plants, they really took off easily. And what I'm having to work with and grapple now is how I care for these growing plants, because some like different conditions and water and sun. And so I'm working that out as I go. And today we're talking, as we continue in our Plan A series, about sowing and sowing seeds in conversation. And that means talking about and sharing the experiences, our faith and our journey and the questions and maybe questions that other people have around our faith and our following of Jesus. And we've been talking over the last 2 weeks about growing, which is so essential to our faith, because we need to be doing that first and foremost. And then also knowing people, that we're having authentic and connected and purposeful relationships. And today we're focusing on sowing. And I think this is the part that people kind of jump to. When we think of evangelism, we think about talking, sharing, speaking things out. And we're kind of asking the question, is there some magic equation we can do? Is there something we need to say? Is there a silver bullet, so to speak? And we kind of put pressure on ourselves, and maybe we kind of tend to oversteer. We can oversteer one way and withdraw and maybe hold back and not speak out the things that we're feeling or experiencing. Or we can oversteer the other way and be completely insensitive to people and just tell them what we think, irrespective of where they're at. And as we read in this passage today in Matthew 13, this is known as the parable of the sower. And we see three particular elements here. We see the farmer, who is the sower. We see the seed, and we also see the soil. And in our Plan A Life Group Resources Library, we're going to be focusing in on the sower and the seed. And it's a fantastic resource, and I really recommend you get on there and have a look at that with your life group. Look at the video and the notes. It's really awesome. And today we're going to focus on the soil, because the seed is only as successful as the soil that it's planted in. Now, obviously the sower plays a part and the seed is integral, but the soil is literally the foundation on which this equation rests. In this passage, we see Jesus sharing to a large crowd of people. And then later on, he breaks it down to his disciples. And he tells them that the seed is the word of God. The sower is those who share about the message about the kingdom, which is really interesting. It's really broad. It's not a specific thing. It's messages about the kingdom. And then the terrain, or the soil, is actually people's hearts. And it's a really beautiful agricultural picture, which kind of has this haphazard sower of seeds just throwing them about and people's hearts receiving that seed. What it doesn't say in this passage is that it doesn't tell us if this is the definitive list of outcomes. Is there only four outcomes? We're not sure. It doesn't also give a time frame for how long these seeds take to germinate or die. There's no time frames given. But it seems like this is kind of the 30,000 foot perspective view, so we can know what we can expect to happen. If you were a farmer though, I don't know if this would be a very successful business model, but this is the model that Jesus continued to practice, throwing out the seeds to anyone who was around. And we literally see people's heart responses as we continue reading in this passage. In verse 54 to 57 of chapter 13, have a listen to this. It says, coming into his hometown, he began teaching, this is Jesus, the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And then they took offense at him. It's so funny because they're having these experiences like, this guy's miraculous, he's amazing, he's powerful, he's all-knowing. And then I think maybe because they couldn't work out how to deal with that, they're like, nah, sorry, buddy, I'm going to take offense at you. And it's interesting because we see people's heart responses all through the Bible. We see the disciples struggle to get their head around things and let that sink into their heart. We see that the crowds are amazed at what Jesus says, but then don't believe. And we see the religious people, who are supposed to know all things and be so connected to God, actually conspiring in their heart to want to kill Jesus. It's at this point you kind of think, maybe Jesus needs a new PR campaign or something like that. In a recent survey in Australia, it's noted that 77% of people are not open to exploring faith. 13% of people would be considering it, and 10% are actually open to it. And I think when you look at the parable, it's kind of a brutally honest picture, but it actually lines up with where we're at in our culture today. But the seed is only as successful as the soil that it's planted in. In the 1990s and into the early 2000s, two young guys by the name of Doug and Don were students at a university in the United States. And they were sharing their life and their faith with other students. And what they noticed is that people didn't seem to respond to Jesus like they used to do, maybe in the 60s or 70s. The big tent events just weren't really inspiring for people. And the big name speakers, it didn't matter for them. And they'd noticed that the world had changed and was moving into a cultural shift of moving into a postmodern society. And so what they decided to do was to listen and to learn from the hearts of the people. And listen, where are their hearts at? And as they did that, they found some common themes. They actually found that there were some steps that people were taking, and there was a pathway and a framework which people were moving through. And I want to share with you what Doug and Don found. Here's a table that explains these pathways to Jesus. And these are the steps that people are taking. They move from distrust to trust. They go from being complacent to curious. They go from being closed to change to open to change. They go from meandering to seeking God, and then entering the kingdom to living in the kingdom. Now, if you're on a journey to faith and you're exploring Jesus, do any of these steps resonate with you? Could you see yourself in any of these stages and identify yourself in them? Or perhaps if you're already following Jesus and on a path of faith, can you think of times when you went through these different stages? I think historically the model has been a line in the sand and you are either in or out. A lot of people were born into the in, religious. If your family was this kind of religion, you became that. And anyone on the out was really outer and shunned. And to cross that divide was a huge thing. But when you look at the stories in the Bible, you see it's a lot more nuanced than just in and out. You see that the disciples were following Jesus even when they didn't believe. They had distrust. They were complacent. They were close to change and struggled to enter the kingdom of God. But Jesus journeyed with them. He asked them questions. He revealed their hearts, he nurtured their hearts, and let their journey of faith unfold step by step. When you consider this pathway, what can you learn about the journey of faith? And what stands out to you? A thing I notice is that it helps you understand that there's a process. It breaks it down into small digestible pieces and actually lets you have empathy for people, because these are pretty big steps that they're going through. Imagine yourself, think of someone or something that you distrust. What would it take for you to trust that person? What would it take for you to trust that situation? What type of conversations? What type of experiences? How much time would that take you to move from distrust to trust? Or perhaps you were closed to change, weren't really thinking about something. What would it take to move you to being open to change? I think pathways help us identify where people could be on their journey and realize that big jumps are not necessarily the easiest or the clearest thing for them to do, but it can be the little steps, but they're significant as well. And it informs the way that we need to listen to people and how we respond. And we need to respond appropriately depending on where they're at in their journey of faith. I also noticed that there's the possibility that hearts can change. I think we're so quick to maybe write off people or maybe have ridiculous expectations that we put on them that we maybe wouldn't even do for ourselves. And so this shows you that it is a process, that it does take time, that it can go fast, that it can go slow, and it can go back and forward. We're not the gatekeeper or the timekeeper of people, and it's up to them as to how and when they move forward. I think of Wendy's story that we heard a few weeks back and how these seeds were sown in her younger life and they didn't spring to life until decades later when she wasn't even ready or maybe open or thinking about that, and it surprised her as well. I also notice that hearts respond to nurture, And people grow when we walk alongside of them, when we listen to them, when we learn from them, and when we journey with them. Like my herb garden requires particular care and conditions for each plant, so do people. One size fits all approaches just don't work, and we need to listen and adjust ourselves to grow with people. And I mean, you think about your own situation, or all the friends that you know, or the family members that you have, and how we adjust accordingly to where they're at. It also puts us in a place of being a learner and not an expert with power over someone, but someone who's going to encourage and nurture and give power to that person as they go through this pathway. I'm sure you can think of many other things, but I think this framework really gives us a good concept to grapple with when we're thinking about how we're sowing seeds in our conversations with other people. And I think it also invites some questions. If God's kingdom is to restore and renew all things, how do we make ourselves available to restore and renew the hearts of others? What does it take to make that soil that might be dry and parched nourished and fruitful again? And it also invites us to look at the conditions and the soil and the nature of our own heart as well. When I was young, if you had asked me, what is my childhood dream? The answer I would have given you was to go to Disneyland. I don't know why that was, and I think a lot of kids in my era also felt the same way. Probably it was helped along by the fact that I had Disney tapes, like cassettes that I used to listen to with songs. I had cartoons and stuff that I used to watch and movies, and also some Disney toys like a Mickey Mouse and a Minnie Mouse as well. And as I got older and into adulthood, that dream really just really wasn't a big deal to me anymore. But a few years ago, I was over there in the United States and I was finishing up my master's studies, and I had the opportunity to go to Disneyland on my 39th birthday. Oh my gosh, I was so excited. I could not believe it. Here I was, after all those years of reading about Disneyland, I am here. And it was so cool because even back in the day, my uncle had bought me this hat, and because he'd been to Disneyland, and it had embroidered on the back, Jodine, my name on there. And it was like, this is this artifact from a faraway land. And now here I was in Disneyland. As I walked in, there was this parade and Mickey and Minnie were waving. And I'm like, they know me, they know me. And I was losing my mind and crying because I'm like, I am here in the kingdom. I saw all the amazing rides and worlds that they had, and also saw that beautiful purple castle that you see at the start of every movie as Tinkerbell rounds out and draws her stars around the castle. And the day ended with fireworks at night, and it was the best fireworks I'd ever seen. And my heart was so content because here was childhood Jodine experiencing this dream and seeing those seeds come to life of this kingdom and Disneyland and this place of a faraway nature that I've always dreamed of being at. I was finally here. And when I think of that story, it makes me wonder, do we communicate about the kingdom of God in a way that would make people curious or intrigued about this particular kingdom as much as I was longing to go to Disneyland? Do the things that we have experienced in following Jesus actually spark joy in us that it becomes infectious to people in a good way, that they want to go, who's this Jesus that you're talking about? Do we live out loud the upside down kingdom of God, a kingdom that welcomes others with open arms and say, you belong here? A kingdom that extends mercy and grace where people that have felt crushing shame, judgment and ridicule feel like they have a place they can belong. A kingdom that takes people where they're at, where we can sit with them in their doubt and their insecurities and their fears. A kingdom that sees innate value and worth in each person, irrespective of where they are. And a kingdom that says, you have a place at the table. You belong here. Are we a living brochure for the kingdom of God? Or are we that unconvincing tour guide that's handing out brochures for places that we've never seen or been? Looking back at those statistics in the Australian survey, the thing that speaks to most of people's hearts is when they can see a Christian living out a genuine faith, and also when they can see a person being changed by their faith. So while we can look at the soil and the heart of other people, they're looking at yours. And that invites us to get honest, really honest with our lives. Because the conversations and things that we will share will be dependent on how the soil and the seeds and our heart are growing those things. And what we will bring to other people's hearts, or what will bring to other people's hearts to life, is seeing the restoration and renewal of our own hearts and our own lives being changed by Jesus.
I trust that you've been encouraged to think a little bit more about where your friends are at, to consider more carefully the state of their hearts, and to take then the words that you've been given to talk about Jesus and use them appropriately to sow seeds wherever you are. We hope you join us again soon, and would love for you to join us for church at gbconline.org.au at our regular service times of 8:30, 10:30, and 6 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. You can also follow us on Facebook or visit our website at guymeabaptist.org.au. Until next time, God bless.